David Spearing on comments on the working committee model, beginning of the working committee, goals, aspirations, the various parties. September and October of 1969.
Dates, but you were asking about the working committee and our feelings, or my feelings, about the structure of the working committee. To me, there was a hell of a gap missing in the working committee as it was structured and as I experienced it. Now, I attended several of the formative meetings of the working committee that where I wasn't, we certainly weren't paid consultants. And I was only asked as an individual. I wasn't asked as Birmingham and Wood Architects and planners. But it was pretty damned obvious that technocrats, and I say that qualified, I make that qualified in a qualified statement in all due respect to people like Morris Egan, who claim not to be a technocrat. But these people were skilled in the ways of government. They were skilled. They had their own jargons. They had their own understanding of how things got done. And it was between them. These understandings were clear. They didn't have to say a lot of things. So they would sit and have a discussion. And this discussion would be witnessed by Strathcona.
Initiated by Strathcona. Like Strathcona wouldn't throw out an idea of this is what we want to do, and the bureaucrats respond.
They might throw out an idea, but the bureaucrats would have a discussion to them
on a jargon level.
On a jargon level, and between the three of them, everything was going along happy, and the Spoda people were witnessing. They didn't understand what was happening. So there was nothing.
The citizens had to have some other resource to really participate on a meaningful level.
Oh yeah, yeah, very much. Because
did Mike understand?
Yes. And this is what we had to do sometimes as little as possible in the meeting, because then they sort of identified you as the guy, number one, and number two, they directed their conversation to you because you were their interpreter. You really didn't want that to happen. You wanted to break that down. So sometimes you would have to counsel Strathcona after the meeting about what the hell they really said. What the hell they really meant, and what Strathcona might have inadvertently agreed to. You know,
were there any recesses called during the meeting so that Spoda could go get filled in in a recess?
No, well, that we weren't even recognized as being there.
Oh, I see.
Teaching course at Mount Sinai College this year. It's the first time the course has ever been taught by anybody. Any recess is called for them to go in a huddle and discuss.
Yeah.
Only if not on a regular basis. You know, if Shirley or Harry or somebody like that could see that they might be in trouble. They might ask for tea or coffee or some damn thing and then sneak off to the side. But that didn't happen on a regular basis. Like if, for instance, if you were in a negotiating session between countries or something, they would do it every 10 minutes or something and recap. But it was pretty obvious that this was happening, and then it started to become obvious to Morris, who by that time
knew who I was
and had been exposed to me in Calgary. He could see the length that I was providing, and Mike as well, I guess, or anybody else who was there. It turned out that I was sort of attending on a regular basis. Mike was getting a little less regular because it was more in my area.
It's okay. We won't fall any further.
Yeah. And the other thing was that Spotted wasn't able to communicate what they, in very human terms, had to say to these bureaucrats, because
their words didn't make any more sense to the bureaucrats than the jargon made to.
That's right. I mean, when anybody talks to the bureaucrats about development, they're usually sophisticated developers, and they've got all their consultants around them, and their consultants are filling in the blanks. And
we all know we're operating under section so and so of such and such.
Yeah. Christ's sake, I mean, RM1 means, you know, everybody knows what RM1 means. And this is, in fact, what they were saying was, well, what do you want, RT2 or RM1? People in Stats Corner were saying, do you take that with soy sauce or ketchup?
Whichever one will leave us alone.
I'm sure it comes in liquid form.
Yeah, whichever one will leave us alone, or whatever we are now, and they didn't understand. Because that wasn't even within the realm of possibility to them, because this was a downtown urban area which had to be used to the maximum. So, you know, there's no way I could stop attending, whether we were consultants or not consultants. We were consultants. Somebody had to be there.
Did you go to the prior meetings that Spoda would hold before a working committee meeting?
Yes.
You went to
them? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those strategy meetings are very important meetings. And sometimes you could anticipate what was going to happen, and I could counsel them about what the other moves might be and what it meant when they said so and so, etc. But again, you can't expect them to retain all of that kind of knowledge, because you only retain that knowledge which you think you're going to need to use in the future.
Were you present with Spoda people when, was it Spoda's suggestion or was it Morris Egan's suggestion at the very beginning of the working committee that it should be consensus? Do you remember what reservations Spoda may have had about consensus, or you remember anything about that?
I really think that it was Morris Egan's move, which was a good move.
Because it would get things done?
Well, no. It was a consensus was a little bit slower, in fact.
Yeah.
But if it came to a vote, you could ramrod the whole thing right through with three votes for the government against one vote for the people, you know. And I think that was a pretty important piece of strategy, saying that, you know, you had to convince everybody. And of course, it was a piece of strategy that worked for the community, but for the city, who went into this thing with a negotiating position, they didn't want to have any part of it. Quite often, Max Cross, the representative of the city, would be the dissenting vote in the consensus. Now, if that dissenting vote was Spoda,
it was over.
They'd still be arguing. Yeah. they'd still be trying to reach a consensus, but when it was Max Cross, they just said, well, we'll record your vote, we'll record your objection, which is really, on the part of the chair, fairly well-engineered.
I remember during the negotiations and coming into town that Harry would say, we want this, the city wants this, and the city won't agree with us. No program, no consensus, nothing happens. We have to give in, we have to compromise. This is more during the negotiations.
Yes, I think that's what I realized, that they had to compromise. In fact, there have been tremendous compromises made in the eyes of the state. And it may be that without Harry in the chair, as far as SPOTA is concerned, they might never have reached those compromises. I think that's one reason why a lot of people got pretty nervous about Harry leaving the chair.
And I just want to show you a letter that you wrote to Harry. This is October 17th, 69, where you accepted SPOTA's offer to work with them. And you stated your position, how you want it to work. You said you wanted to be concerned with the overall planning for the area, review of revisions and standards appropriate for rehab. You wanted SPOTA to be the client, countersign all bills, and you were thinking in terms of $1,500, $2,000 a year for 2 years. $2,000 a month for 2 years. Can you sort of expand about what did you hope to accomplish when you accepted being consultants to SPOTA, and what did you think the other three parties wanted you to do or wouldn't let you do?
Well, this was the... I think that this letter was not accepted by the working committee as... they just couldn't conceive of
it. It was revised, yeah.
Well, and under some pretty heavy fire that we got from it. Our attitude at that time was that the city had a whole resource. They had a city hall full of consultants up there who they could draw upon to reinforce their point of view. Similarly, the provincial government and similarly the federal government. And the only people who didn't have this kind of resource was SPOTA. Mm-hmm. And this is why we feel the proper way to set up a balance. You know, there's no way you can negotiate with three strong partners and one weak partner. The only way to set up a balance was to give SPOTA a simulation of a wide-based consultant team. There's no way we could equal, for instance, what City Hall had. You know, we can't give them 500 employees to draw from. So that's why we wanted SPOTA to be our consultants, to be our clients. We wanted the working committee to recognize that we were their consultants by paying the money to Strathcona and Strathcona paying the money to us. Keeping the client consultant relationship the same as the client money relationship. You know, somebody's paying you, it's damned hard. Well, it was illustrated several times during the program that if the person who is paying you, you tend to act for. And, you know, in several cases, the city, in fact, was handing the money out. The money was in the city coffers, and the city had to pay us. And the city had us in a very bad position. You know, we, in fact, to get paid in some instances, had to compromise.
The work committee originally had agreed to hire consultants for SPOTA to look at a feasibility of a two-block rehab area, but from your letter, you seem to have something much more greater, more comprehensive in mind.
This was our understanding of the need for a consultant, and what was happening in the working committee was that the city people saw their position being jeopardized. Max Cross and Tony Geach were supposed to be the planners of this area, and they had the funds already, and they had hired staff based on the fact that they were planning this urban renewal scheme, which they were still calling an urban renewal scheme. And for us to do anything other than going in and looking at
those two specific blocks.
Well, those two specific blocks, not just the blocks, but we were supposed to be inside the houses looking at the dry rot in the beams.
Yeah.
And not even how the houses worked in terms of fulfilling a social need, or how the yard worked with the house, or how the two buildings in the yard worked with the house. Or
how the streets related to that.
Yeah. They were only concerned with
technical
information, and for God's sake, stay within those bounds or you'll be treading on our ground. And
were they working on the other ground?
On the total overall planning?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, they had their plan already.
But is that the 1957 plan?
Sure.
Oh, I see. It was still there.
Their job was to resist. They never believed that anything was going to come of this, you see. And they thought that we were going to prove that those old shabby old houses weren't worth a damn. And therefore should come down, you see.
That was their conclusion for it.
Yes, that's right. In fact, they had done a similar survey before, and they gave it to us.
They said it was, Tony Geach said things like economic realities dictated that the area could not remain as such.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a copy of their study?
They handed it to Andrus at that meeting.
Right.
And supposedly done with the people. And Harry Kahn says, I haven't seen that.
That's right. No, there was a Chinese guy involved.
Lincoln Chang. Who spoke Mandarin.
Very important. Very important link. I mean, he had the right color of skin, the right color of hair.
But he never spoke Chinese.
Not only did he speak Chinese. Beautiful.
He didn't speak Chinese.
He didn't speak Chinese. I'll accept that.
I heard he didn't speak any. Because it was a different dialect. And
he would have put the people off completely. But not only that, he didn't even know what Canada was about, let alone Strathcona. Yeah. He was
You were
possibly,
You were mentioning that the city still had their master plan in the sense of wanted to wait this out. Even when the federal minister said, we're not going to do anything without the people's approval, or didn't King and all make it clear that that kind of bulldozer is over, forget it, think of something else.
So this is can only be a matter of conjecture on my part. I can't document this, but what I sensed happening in the meeting was that Cross and Geach were being told what to do by somebody above, and I understand it wasn't Bill Graham, so there's only one person, Sutton Brown. And I know that Geach and Sutton Brown were very close. They may not have respected each other too well, but Sutton Brown knew that when he told Tony to do something, he'd do
it.
And that's what you could see these people coming from the city and sitting down in the meetings and being in a different world from what was happening in the meeting. Mm-hmm. If they were told something like that, they couldn't communicate it back up to the boss who was telling them what to say.
Tony Geach and John Coates both said that the negotiators for the city never did anything or said anything which was not city council policy. They took the position that, we couldn't get away with anything that the city council would let us do. So they're throwing it back on the political level, whether it's Earl Adams and the head of the finance committee who said no grants or something like that.
You know, that you see that they were...
Is that an excuse or a reason?
No, I think that's fairly accurate. Oh. The city negotiators did not negotiate. Because the people, you know, they didn't have...
Their
the,
position
They didn't have the power to negotiate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
You know, we had a federal representative who was pretty damn close to
the
people he was mm-hmm. working for.
And F. Brown.
Yeah, and F. Brown was told by Dan Campbell, get in there and fight this bloody thing out. And, you know, it's a very important project. Mm-hmm. And F. Brown had the respect of Campbell. Mm-hmm. And similarly, King Ganon had the respect of Andrews. And when he didn't have the respect, or whenever he felt a little shaky, he got in touch with Andrews right away and seemed to be able to communicate the message back and forth fairly efficiently.
With Roselle.
Yeah. Yeah. But before Roselle, I guess it was Coates. But the people from the city didn't have any...
No.
Look, people from the city didn't say, get down there and do the best you bloody well can and come out of it, scarred and beaten all to hell, but with the best bloody deal you can get. They have no mandate whatsoever.
Did Sutton Brown sit in on any of this?
No way. Sutton Brown was the ghost. He never showed his face in the community.
Should there ever been a... this is one comment made on the working committee model, that it was a meeting of technocrats versus citizens, where it should have been elected representatives.
I've got a picture of, you have three people who are there capable of negotiating.
Right.
And one who isn't, that's the city.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, what happens if there's an alderman there? Head of the finance committee or civic development.
That used several times, and in fact, because you had Spada, you see, Spada seemed to have Andrus's ear, and it seemed to have Campbell's ear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It didn't seem to have the city's ear, in that it was an NPA city at that time. And completely.
Only had Harry Rankin.
Well, no, they had. Linnell.
Oh, Morris Egan.
Yeah, and well, not just Morris. I think, you know, she was.
You talked to her too.
Oh, yeah. How'd you find that?
Oh, we heard
that. Yeah. I forgot. That's what I meant. And,
I
got you two mixed up.
I had several meetings with her in downtown Chinatown. She had to eat. And there were, you know, we were gradually making progress in eroding council's stand. But we really didn't have the ear of council. And so there's a lot of nitty-gritty that has to be worked out in a thing like this. And I agree with you. I agree that if they had made enough progress to recognize the fact that SPOTA should have technical representatives and consultants who were their representatives and consultants, then you could have sat down with the technocrats, and their consultants.
Yeah.
And we could have fought. But in this particular case, I'm bloody glad it didn't happen, because this was an experience. The experience of dealing with the community was a really important experience for the other three levels. Really important. Because they were dealing with people, you know, and people cried. You know, people really could, they know how to cry. And they talked about things like their baby or their children, things like this, which, of course, on their level, is irrelevant. And so I'm very glad that it wasn't said. I think that the only modification that might have been made would be that. No, I can't, you know.
Yeah.
Taking the NPA government the way it was, I can't suggest that SPOTA should have had their ear, because that's a political situation that couldn't happen. And so
What about the, what did you feel that the positions of the federal and provincial governments were at the beginning of the working committee? Like Harry's first comment is, we want urban renewal stopped, that's been done, we want to rehab our house, and third, we would certainly appreciate or like government assistance. And the only thing that's separating us, or the problem is, the five-letter word money. I mean, what do you remember of King and Ong's position, or Ev Brown? They said that they were just there to, they were definitely looking in terms of rehabilitation. And they want a study done, see how much money would be needed, or whether it's feasible, etc.
I've got to guess what their feelings are. It seemed to me that politically, the
decision had been made for them.
Victory had been made in terms of the federal government. The provincial government was a little better than sitting on the fence. Towards Spotter, in Spotter's favor. But the city government had to be convinced. And the other Jew had to sit in through the process of convincing that other federal government. And in fact, the city could never have been convinced without the power of the other Jew government.
Of Andrus and Campbell.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, without Campbell.
Not even the representatives at those levels could convince.
There was nobody there from the city. Now, there was effectively nobody there from the city. Because they're afraid for their job.
The ghost disappeared.
Yeah.
It was calling the show.
That's correct. So, and not only that, the communication wouldn't go back to the ghost. Because the communication was probably told to get down there and tell them to stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't have the guts to do it, and therefore got told what to tell back to the ghost. And was afraid for its job or position or whatever, and wasn't communicating with the ghost.
In December 5th of 69, Harry Collins sends this letter to Maurice Egan, saying things like, what's wrong with the consultant's terms of reference? How come they have to renegotiate it? And what's with all these backroom meetings? Was there feedback, Lynn, that there was this thing going on? Okay, I'll check.
There was a feeling of accord in the working committee, a real feeling of accord. And we sort of felt that we worked things out, and we thought we accomplished things. And say we presented them to Max Cross. Well, since the city had the money, the final agreements had to be drawn up with the city of Vancouver. Which meant Sutton Brown. Okay, you come to an accord in the working committee meeting, you say, okay, this is the basis of the accord, let's get somebody to run off the bloody legality crap of it, get it signed, and let's get on with it. So this is basically what we tried to do. And this letter is saying, this letter is the result of Max Cross coming back saying, well, that was a very nice meeting and everything, and everybody got along very well, but you and I know that, we just can't operate this way, really the agreement.
You wanted the contract signed as much as they did, or a defined set contract?
Yeah, but there were two different contracts. There was a contract that the working committee meeting was talking about, and there was a contract that the city drew up.
On behalf of the working committee?
Allegedly, but there was no relationship between the two.
Yeah.
And this is the result of the fact that, you could see. It was very obvious that Cross was hedging.
Wow.
Oh.
There was such profound hedging on the part of Max Cross.
That early in the game, consistently.
Yeah. That you know, Christ, it took a hell of a long time to come up with this contract.
Which is how it's going to come up to. On January 28th, the Strathcona Working Committee, the draft contract is discussed, is released. And I think earlier you had spoken to a SPOTA executive just a few days earlier saying, hopefully it will be signed in a few days. But that's January, late January, but I think it's not until March or sometime that a formal contract is finally. What happened?
Well, I think,
apparently there's supposed to be even a clause in there that the city got so picky that should Bud Wood or Bill Birmingham die, that's it, you know. That got that technical and such.
Was improved very much. And therefore, the bloody thing should never be used as a model for hiring a consultant in a situation like this. The only reason it was signed
was so you could start getting paid.
Well, partly that, but more in the we were kind of dumb in the financial, from a financial point of view as consultants. We just, you know, we often lost money, as you probably know. And we weren't as concerned with that as we were with getting the bloody show on the road again. And, you know, finally Morris said, oh, for God's sake, sign the bloody thing and we'll throw it in a drawer and forget about it. You know.
But the reason it
we're not going to get anywhere.
But the reason it took so long for something to get signed was symbolic of the position of the city council.
Very much so. Well, it symbolic of the, not the position of city council, symbolic of the position of Sutton Brown. Because Sutton Brown wrote that contract. And, you know, through Tony Geach and Max Cross and the lawyers. But there was no, you know, the working committee.